In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So here in the United States, unfortunately, we have not heard much about Sister Maria Laura. In Europe, they can't stop talking about her, right? In large part because she died a heroic death. And in the next few days, she'll be formally beatified. She'll be blessed, Maria Laura. Right? And what's her story? Well, she was a woman, a religious sister, who loved the Lord Jesus, loved serving the people of God. And there were some Satanists in her area in northern Italy. And they despised Sister, right? Because she was the constant source of grace, constant face of the Lord Jesus to those who struggle with belief. And eventually, three teenagers who were part of that satanic group attacked Sister, brutally tortured her, and killed her, and then used her body for satanic worship. Right? This is horrible. This happened a few years ago. Right? Now, why do I tell you that story? Well, first, because that's someone we should remember, right? Pope Francis says that she died in the utter defense of our faith, right? Because of hatred towards our faith, right? So first, we need to make sure we honor this holy woman. Secondly, we need her intercession, right? Sister Maria Laura, right? You can Google her, email me, I'll send you as much as you want about her, right? But why else should we know about her? Because, dear friends, whether people acknowledge it or not, there is a spiritual battle. Spiritual battle that happens all the time. It's played out in our culture. People talk about culture wars. People say, oh, there's no culture war. Of course there's a culture war because it's a spiritual battle. Right? Darkness is trying constantly to eclipse light. Constantly trying to snuff out the light. Grace constantly is in battle in order to kick out fallenness and sin. And we have to realize that we're a part of that spiritual battle. Now, to clarify, they are not equal. It's not a battle between light and darkness. Light has won. Goodness has won. But darkness and evil, it knows it can get in there and eat away, take away some of that goodness. Right? So rather than seeing them as equal, as if, you know, simply equal good versus evil, rather we should see it that good is here. God created all things good. But there's a spiritual cancer, and it wants to get in there. It wants to weaken, hurt, harm the strength of our soul, the goodness of our soul. And it wants to begin to take away what God has given to us. This is why in our tradition we call sin, we call evil, a privation. It's something that deprives us. It takes away what's good. And so there's a battle. We have to understand who the enemy is. We have to understand the context of both who are fighting it. Good, which is one, but evil, which could be deadly. And that's happening in our world today. It's happening in our own souls. We constantly feel that battle between good and evil. Do I go to confession? No, I don't need to. I'm okay. Right? Should I pray? No, I can figure this out. No. Should I help my neighbor? Oh, no, they're gross, and, you know, I don't want to get anything. Right? Should I visit the sick? Oh, no, you know, we're in a pandemic. You know, we constantly give ourselves excuses. Right? And we think that we are somehow enlightened because we're doing this. When actually all we're doing is constantly depriving our soul of grace. We constantly are not allowing ourselves to receive the strength that we need in order to live the Christian way of life. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we don't feel strong enough to do it. Right? When I cannot forgive my enemy. Right? When I cannot have a love for the poor. When I cannot go the extra mile. Because I'm so weak. Because I have allowed myself to become so weak. Because I have not received the graces, the strength that God desires to give to me. And so oftentimes we become casualties to the spiritual battle, in large part because of our sins of omission. It's important that we understand what Jesus has given to us. We should regularly receive Holy Communion. Many of you are able to go even daily. You pop in here once a month, which I'm grateful for, but we don't see you during the week, and you could go to Mass during the week. I think it's a shameful thing in our world today that there are so many who could go to Mass on a daily basis, and yet they choose not to. My goodness, if I was standing out here handing out $1 million, I bet you'd be here every day, huh? Right? Yeah. But instead, it's only the body and blood of the eternal Son of God by which we are saved. Right? Makes me begin to question how many truly believe that. How many truly believe in the body and blood of Christ? How many truly believe that they need to be saved? And by that sacrament, we receive the grace in order to receive salvation. We want to constantly receive the sacraments, going to confession and communion regularly, communion again when we can, even daily, and confession, even weekly, if you could, if you're able. Why would you not? You know, so many of our ecclesial movements today, they require their membership to go weekly. It sounds crazy. Dr. Scott Hahn, who's known to many, goes weekly. He jokes, he says he goes every week, and his wife has never said to him, you go too much, right? But he wants the grace. Why not receive the grace? It means we study the scriptures. We have a life of prayer. We exercise virtue, showing kindness, even to those who are unkind to us. We do not respond an eye for an eye. When someone takes our eye, we put on a patch, and we use the strength we have in order to serve them, because we break cycles of poverty and violence. We do not allow them to continue. We serve the poor. We are constantly the difference. We are the ones who seek to go by the higher road, to follow the way of the Lord Jesus, the way of love. In order to do that, we need this grace. And of course, that's especially true when it comes to suffering. I suspect of all the ways in which, outside of the sacraments, we can receive grace, there is none more powerful than suffering. And yet, across the church, we see that suffering is wasted. Oftentimes, believers who should know better, we do worship a crucified Lord. We see across the church Christians who should know better fall into self-pity, entitlement, bitterness, selfishness, and the list goes on, rather than understanding this is what our discipleship has been all about. My goodness, dear friends, if we receive any other consolation, no other consolation in our faith, it should be that we approach suffering and death with boldness. For we have received the grace of God, we have been transformed by that, and we are ready to accept suffering for the sake of our Lord, for our salvation, the salvation of all the world. It means that we approach death with even joy, right? I think the pandemic has shown us how many Christians truly do fear death and are willing to do anything, even avoid the sources of grace in order to preserve their health, which shows that they, in the end, do not worship Christ, they worship their own health, right? In the end, they're more worried about their well-being than the most excellent way of love. In order for us to fulfill the demands of the Christian way, we must receive grace, and that means suffering. Dear friends, I pray that God gives healing to all who ask. I ask that God bring healing upon anyone who is suffering. But I also know that in the mystery of God, he allows suffering. And I have seen great good be brought forth from that suffering. First and foremost, from the suffering of our Lord, but also by the suffering of so many of his people. And when God chooses not to heal, but he allows us to suffer, then he gives us strength. He allows that suffering itself to be a source of grace, not simply for those of us who accept it virtuously, but even for those around us. I think it's very humbling as we study sacred scripture, we study salvation history, we see how many people receive salvation who by themselves would not have merited it, but because a loved one cared enough to help them, they were able to receive the grace from Christ in order to even bring salvation to their loved ones. And that's the power of suffering. We Christians, not that we run and fly and are so happy to embrace suffering, but we certainly shouldn't avoid it. And we certainly should not see it as some type of punishment or a way of some means of self-pity. Right? We accept suffering and we carry that suffering along with Christ. And we offer that suffering up so that it can become redemptive. And when the day comes, whenever and however it comes, we accept death. You know, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us that our death is the last gift that we give to our Lord. Isn't that powerful? That he who died for us, we can die in him. That our death is our last gift in this life to our Lord. And yet how many even squander that gift, right? They forget. They're so worried about everything else under the sun. They're not worried. They're not prepared in order to even accept death as a gift. So as we celebrate this Eucharist, I'm going to encourage each of us. Ask God for the healing. Yes, absolutely. May God allow none to suffer. But if in his goodness he allows suffering, realize that a mission, a power comes with that suffering. Offer that suffering up for your good and the good of all his holy church.